fighting for America.
As we gather together this Thanksgiving to ask the Lord's blessings, let us thank Him for our peace, prosperity, and freedom.
Fighting for Idaho.
Kevin, I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed you in the turkey suit.
Oh.
That was the best. And of course, I blasted it all over social media because it was just about the cutest thing ever.
Fighting for you.
My thoughts and certainly my admiration go to all of you and what you've done for us. You make a difference each and every day.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hope you're having a wonderful pre-Thanksgiving. Kevin Miller with you. Our Matters of Faith program continues. Joining us now, Pastor Jim Harris from the Heritage Bible Church. Pastor Harris, of course, known just about everywhere, on the radio, on the web. You're a man of multi-platform dimensions, sir. Good morning.
Multi-platform dimensions. That's the politest name I've been called in public in a long time, Kevin.
Well, it is the holiday season. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is indeed. You know, it's amazing to me what the world we live in is like. I became a Christian on June 5th, 1967. A lot of people think the most important thing that happened that day was the Six-Day War in Israel, but The most important thing was the transformation of my life. And who would have thought that nowadays I'd be hopping back and forth to Russia every week, talking to an unspecified number of thousands of people by internet, by radio. It's just astounding the way that we can communicate these days. And I always love doing it, but thank you for the multidimensional comment. That's cool.
The ways have changed, but has the message?
Absolutely not. You know, the thing I like about radio is how personal it has become in our world. In my parents' grandparents' age, you would sit around the family radio and listen to, you know, I don't know, Lone Ranger or something like that. We don't do that anymore. I listen to the radio once in a while at home, especially if it's a Boise State pregame. But otherwise, I listen in my car.
Right.
So when I put a sermon on the radio, I feel like I'm talking to somebody personally. And, you know, it's a very almost private communication in such a public way.
Broad yet narrowcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and God's relationship with the Pilgrims, the Puritans, and all those folks, and I guess in a broader sense later on with America today.
Yeah. Well, I love Thanksgiving as a holiday because it's like saying, okay, go be a Christian today. You know, how can you be saved from eternal torment in a lake of fire and not be thankful and not find a reason to be thankful every day? But the thing I don't like about Thanksgiving, Kevin, is the implication that somehow we ought to do it one day a year. I know what we're saying. We're not saying don't be thankful the rest of the time. But when you get a perspective that God is in control and that He is good, you have to be thankful. That's why the Bible says, you know, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean you give thanks for the terrorist, you give thanks for the rapist, you give thanks for the murderer. But in the midst of those things, even in the worst of things, you can always see the grace of God, and there's always a basis to be thankful. And we don't just have to find somebody worse off than us so that we can be thankful that we're not that bad off. We can truly be thankful because this world is not the end of things. This is not the last chapter. And those who lack that eternal perspective, I really don't understand how anybody could be at all joyful in the midst of anything, because, boy, if this is all there is, we're in trouble.
Pastor Jim Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO. Our Matters of Faith program. What do we know about, I guess from history books, the Pilgrims' relationship with God and that Thanksgiving, and thank goodness that they made it, whether, you know, whichever colony you like. Certainly, we have the first one, the Lost Colony of Roanoke. We still don't know what happened to those folks. But, you know, Jamestown and Plymouth Rock and all these places we read about, and we see the iconic, you know, pictures, right, paintings of the pilgrims praying to God, thanking them for this bountiful meal that they have, and it would become a tradition that we all embrace in America.
Well, what do we know about those people? You know, they came at tremendous personal risk and tremendous cost. I don't know what the mortality rate was among them. It was just astronomical. And it was a perspective that very few today would have. But, you know, they came motivated strongly, if not completely, by a desire for religious freedom, by a desire to be able to determine their own fate and to be able to practice their faith as they wanted to. And so I think that's an illustration from history of what I was saying, that when you have the perspective that everything you have is from God and that he is sovereign and he's in control, he's good all the time, it just gives you the perspective that I really can be thankful in the midst of this. I can't fathom how many of those people had lost children, spouses, best friends in the relatively short time before that first Thanksgiving, and it may not have been quite as romantic as a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving portrays it for us, or some of the pictures in the books. But those were people of profound faith, truly, humbly giving thanks to God. And we would do well to get in touch with those things. I'm not one of those who says we should go back and live like that. And, you know, people ask me, well, shouldn't the church be like it was in the book of Acts? Well, I'm not sure I want everybody who tells a fib to be struck dead in front of the church. You know, I'm not sure I want the leaders dragged off to jail
right,
very often. But should our faith not be like that? That's the point. And for matters of faith, Thanksgiving is a day that just says, be what you really are.
What about faith today? We have so many secular, immoral challenges. What do you tell your folks, both here and around the world, on battling? I mean, immorality is promoted, mm-hmm, marriages being destroyed, embraced, the embracing of the, you know, being selfish is what we're taught. That's a lot to overcome, whether it's once or twice or three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. I think that the most important thing that we need to realize is that the need of a human heart is the same as it has always been. And the provision for the need of our human heart, that we have fallen short of the glory of God, that we are a sinful creation in rebellion against our Creator. That's what I can do. I can't change society. I can't turn the tide of society. And I think if that's what I was called to do, I would probably go crazy or commit suicide or both, because that's not possible. But I have a message. We have a message that every single individual can be rescued from this world system and can be transformed from the inside out. And that's what has changed societies, is individuals being transformed. And when we have seen amazing outpourings like the Great Awakening, it's just been a collection of individuals being changed. It's not a group getting together and saying, we're going to change the direction of society. I think the Bible's pretty clear that that's not where things are going to go. It's going to get worse and worse in society, but the message stays the same, that we have a Redeemer, that Christ died for our sins. And when I start giving thanks, I get to a lot of things on my list, but it always starts there.
If people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
They can call us, 353-4036. That's a telephone number that reaches Heritage Bible Church. We're located at 7071 West Emerald Street in Boise. It's just west of the Town Square Mall on Emerald. You see our sign off the off the connector. And for the old-timers of Boise, it's what used to be the Elks building.
Okay.
That's how people that have been around here for a long time know us. They say, oh, yeah, I know where that is. And we have a radio program on a different outlet every Monday through Friday, and folks can find us hbc-boise.org on the web. That'll get you connected to all of those portals.
Let's talk a little bit about God in America today with the threat of ISIS, with Christians being persecuted throughout the world, even in our country, where someone of another faith complains and Christmas decorations are taken down in schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I go back to what I was talking about. I don't think that if we see the battle as a societal battle, we're going to be on the losing side. But we can bring a genuine transforming message of love for individuals to be redeemed. But when it comes down to those things, when I hear nonsense, I try to address it, lovingly, gently. We have a winter break from school now. Okay, well, why in the winter? Well, because of the holidays. Well, what holidays? Or you say somebody says happy holidays to you. Well, which holidays are you talking about? It's crazy for us not to call things what they are. I go to Russia at least once a year. I've been averaging now for the last 13 years, and I was joking with somebody. I left for Russia a while back, the day after it had hit the news about the couple in North Idaho with the wedding chapel, and they were basically in danger of being run out of business if they did not choose to violate their conscience and perform same-sex weddings. And I was joking to people, well, I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to Russia where I can preach whatever I want to without fear. And I really could. I could open up the Bible and say anything I wanted to there, and nobody was going to come after me in a civil way. We've just gotten to the point of silliness. If it's a Muslim holiday, call it a Muslim holiday. If it's Jewish New Year, call it Rosh Hashanah. If it's Day of Atonement, call it Yom Kippur. That doesn't scare me that's what it really is. So I don't think we need to apologize for things being what they are, but we do need to look at things and be willing to say what they are. The great world religions are not all one road that leads the same place. You read any of them and they all are mutually exclusive and contradictory. So you need to sort out what really is true.
More coming up next.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Who's staying up all night?
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on Matters of Faith, where we thank God for our great country. And certainly on Thanksgiving, I wish that Thanksgiving were every day. Pastor Jim Harris with us. Once again, Pastor Harris, for people that are going through loss, we in our community suffered the loss of two great pilots.
Oh, yeah.
For people that have, they're away from their families, and you know how it is. You deal with these folks. They work, but, there's that twinge of loneliness when they're on the road or maybe they're at work.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to them to let them know that they're loved by us and they're loved by God?
I have... I guess everybody who does what I do has their go-to passages of Scripture or whatever, but in that situation, I always think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us. Oh, I'm sorry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may comfort others with the comfort with which we've been comforted. Now, I've got advanced degrees in theology, and I figured out then if the word comfort occurs five or six times in a couple of sentences, it's a theme. God is the source of our comfort, and what a great nickname of his there. Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. And something that I often say at a funeral or if I'm with a family who has lost a loved one or is in the midst of losing a loved one is to beware of silly, cliche-sounding things. Sometimes people grab at straws because they really don't know what to say. Often people who haven't dealt with serious grief or helping those go through grief, they don't know what to say, but they feel like they need to say something, and something pretty stupid comes out of their mouths. And, you know, we need to be gracious toward those folks. But on the other hand, I just tell people, when you lose someone, it's a genuine thing. It don't let somebody tell you, oh, don't cry, you know, buck up. No, that's the time for tears. We are to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. And there's the time to put your arm around somebody's shoulders and say, I know it hurts. And there is that human touch of comfort. But ultimately, it's an opportunity for us to be confronted with our own mortality and to look to find out, what can I do that's going to help me face death, be it my own or my mom's death, my dad's death, my child's death? What can I do to be able to face the reality of our own mortality with a confidence that that's not the end? I once was confronted with a young man. I really didn't know much at all, but I knew that Christ had changed my life. And this guy told me that he was seriously thinking about suicide. And I don't know where it came from, but I just blurted out to him, well, if you take your life tonight, what are you doing first thing tomorrow morning? You know, to look at the fact that we are eternal beings, and what is your plan for after this life? And when you look at the whole situation of grief and loss that way, that drives you to the message then, is there a way that I can face death without fear, that I can truly be comforted when death rears its ugly head and invades my family and my space? And can I really find comfort? Well, we can. We find it in the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent his Son to die that we might live. So come full circle. Why can we be thankful today? It's because, well, what can the world do to me? You know, they could come after me because of what I preach. They could persecute me. They could throw me in jail. Worst case would be they could take my life, in which case I just get a promotion sooner than I expected. That's a basis for Thanksgiving. It's a worldview in knowing that there is a God who loves you and who is in control. And if you accept what his provision is for you, there really is comfort. Still hurts. There are still tears. But there's comfort on the other side of it.
As we get ready for Christmas, what's going on in your mind? I know it's Thanksgiving is tomorrow, but I mean, you know, we keep rushing Christmas earlier and earlier. You remember the old days when they'd have, you know, Thanksgiving Day decorations. Right. We go from Halloween right to Christmas.
Yeah, I know. I saw somebody sign on Facebook the other day that it has turned into Merry Hallow Thanksmas. that you know, I used to be one of those that I'd get upset if Christmas invaded Thanksgiving. Well, my birthday's at the end of October. Now I'm hanging on for celebrate my birthday before it gets to be Christmas. Well, you know, it's commercialized. You know, the world is going that way. But you know, what's on my mind? I try to have that same attitude every day that I have on Thanksgiving, to be thankful for what's there. And my wife and I have been discussing the fact that I think we're going to join the ranks this year of just saying, you know, we're so blessed with so many things. We get pretty much whatever we want, whenever we want it, and whatever we need, whenever we need it, that I think we're going to celebrate Christmas by taking what we might have done for each other, and taking the monetary equivalent and passing it on to somebody else. Just a way to approach it in a fresh way, and a way to disconnect from the consumerism. And oh, by the way, weather permitting, my decorations will be up tomorrow because I love it. You know, right. I love being able to take what I've called Christmas. I always give it an award. I call it the best theology by a secular holiday. You know, when you can get people singing about the virgin birth, singing about the king who's coming again, who don't know about him, what a wonderful opportunity to speak the most glorious message of all time. So let's start with Thanksgiving, and let's top it off with Christmas, and then face a new year with joy and confidence that no matter what happens in this world, God is in control, and we can trust him.
Pastor Harris, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Kevin, I love doing this because always I have to look at the clock. I have to look at the computer screen. I have to look at the knobs. I just love being able to come in and rattle off, and it's your problem to manage the time.
I just like to listen. You know, it's funny because here we are, and when you're talking, you're looking somewhere, and when I'm listening, I'm looking somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I get it. Thanks, Kevin. I always appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Kevin Miller, Matters of Faith, 580 KIDO.
MZ, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Matters of Faith, that is the program we have the day before Thanksgiving each and every year. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Our friend Randy Jackson with us. He's a youth pastor at Nampa First Southern Baptist. Randy, good to have you back with us. How you been?
You know, I've been great. You know, it's definitely a good time of year, and we've had a good year both in the family and at the church, and we're happy to and grateful for the upcoming Thanksgiving season.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. As a youth minister, is there any significant different message that you tell to the kids that you don't tell to the adults?
You know, I try and keep it the same. You know, I try and keep they're young adults, and so we keep it pretty simple as far as, you know, just being thankful for what you have and understanding that there's going to be good times and bad times in life, and be prepared for whatever God takes you through, and just learn to be thankful for what you have even in the bad times.
Randy, let's talk a little bit about you. What brought you to the Lord?
You know, I was raised in the church. And so that definitely played a part in it. But at the end of the day, I just I had to come to a realization when I was in high school that it's not just about just going to church, but understanding that God is there for a real personal relationship with us if we want it, and we can look to fulfill our emptiness and our void in our life with all sorts of different things, money and fame or whatever it may be. But, you know, really there's only one thing that satisfies, and that's Christ and what he's done for us, and that we're made for a relationship with Christ, I believe. And when we come to that point where we realize that he is everything we need, then we find our purpose and our satisfaction.
Now, you're on the front lines when we're talking about the kids today, because we're all saturated, but the kids are young, impressionable, don't have that life experience with just so many temptations. How do you counter that?
You know, first of all, we try and counter it with love. You know, that's, I think, one of the most important things is that the kids these days know that there really is love out there, and that we love them. You know, our church is Nampa First Southern Baptist. We kind of nickname our church the heart of Nampa, because the two things that we want people to walk away from our church realizing is that God loves them and that we love them. So one of the first things that we do is just really try and love on our kids and make sure that they know that they're loved and they're valuable. And we also counter it with truth, because there's a lot of deception in the world. There's a lot of, you know, there is a lot of evil in the world, and so trying to help them understand what truth is and what God, you know, what it would like them to know, and help them to develop that relationship with Christ. I believe that when we are firm in our faith, that we can face all the stuff that the world throws at us and come out okay in the end.
What about Thanksgiving? Any Thanksgiving Day memories you would like to share with us?
You know, I think that... That's a good one. I've got a lot of Thanksgiving memories, but they all, you know, pretty much revolve around just being thankful for spending time with my family. You know, I have a beautiful wife, and and two wonderful kids that I'm so grateful for. And you know, I couldn't do couldn't get by each day without them. You know, and so I'm grateful for them, and every Thanksgiving I have with them is a precious memory. And you know, my parents and my family that helped raise me right, and you know, I'm thankful and grateful for them as well. So you know, Kevin, it's hard to put one day in specific as far as Thanksgiving is, because they're all pretty special when you're with your family.
Indeed, for people that are away from their family, Randy, what would you say, young and old?
You know, just you know, make sure you spend some time and call them on the phone if you can't do anything else, you know, and just let them know that you love them, or send them a card, or just let them know that you're thankful for them. I think that too often we take our family and friends for granted, and you know, God tells us in the Word that, you know, we're not promised tomorrow, so make sure that your family knows that they're special to you, and make sure, especially this time of year, to let them know that you're thankful and grateful for them.
Well, what about people, though, that are without their family and maybe they can't get in touch with them? Maybe they got to work.
Well, that's
what would you say to what would you say to them directly? You know, maybe they're working security, maybe they're driving, Randy, and they're, you know, it's the day before Thanksgiving, they couldn't afford to go home, and so they're just, you know, feeling kind of down because everybody's getting ready to have a good time.
You know, first of all, I'd just say, you know, treasure the days you have. You know, every day can be a Thanksgiving, and be thankful for the times that you do get with them. If you can't be with them on that day, and be thankful for the days that you do get. And if they're traveling or out of town, you know, just think of remember the memories and remember the time with them I would also say that, you know, to just be thankful to God for them, and take some time out of your day and spend some time talking with Him. And, you know, He'll get you through even difficult times, because sometimes the holidays are tough, you know, when we think of family we can't be with or lost family. And I think that God tells us that He will give us peace, and if we just reach out to Him, even in those moments.
Well, certainly now more than ever, when the world that we live in, Randy, we, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, obviously we think of the Pilgrims, we think of Jamestown and Plymouth Rock. As a youth pastor, what is your thoughts on God's relationship with America?
Well, I certainly believe without a doubt that God was heavily involved in the formation of this country. I think that this country is very special and very special to Him, and I'm not saying that America's, you know, any better than any other place, but you know, He had his hand on this country, and I believe that He has a plan and a purpose for it still. You know, certainly our founding fathers, when you look at some of the things that they talked about, and their faith was in Christ, and a lot of them were, and you know, Kevin, I think that it's real easy for us to look at where we've come as a country and some of the dark times that we've gone through and it seems like we may face. But, you know, the one thing that I think that I hold to is that God's not done with America yet. You know, I believe that He still has a plan for us, and I believe that He still loves us, and I believe that we can still make a difference in this world.
What do you think of when you hear the song, you know, during the song, God Shed His Grace on Thee?
You know, it just makes me think of how merciful He was, not only to us personally, because, you know, with the reality that we're in a dark place individually, and He sent His Son to die for our sins and to die in our place, but even as a country, I believe that you look at the history of America, and there's been so much grace shed on America, that God has given us so much grace and mercy. And like I said, I think that His intention and His purpose for us, I believe He was heavily involved and graceful and merciful to us in that.
Randy Jackson with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. You know, we talk about the path that we've chosen in life. What brought you to the youth ministry?
You know, I think I just look at, you know, the kids of the world, and I think that there's a lot of brokenness, first of all, in our world, and especially in our high schools. I remember growing up, I think in my entire time growing up, I think I heard of one school shooting. In my entire time of growing up, I think I heard of one person committing suicide. You know, times were different when I was a kid, and not that it was that long ago. I'm only 38, but you know, it was completely different then. And now it's like every other day, it seems like there's something suicide or shooting. I know it's not that often, but sometimes it sure seems like that. And I just look at the kids of the world, you know, the teenagers, that they're so broken and so much stuff, so much negativity going on. And you know, I guess what really brought me to it, for lack of a better term, is the Lord. I really feel like he placed a burden on my wife and I that these kids, they need love. They need to see that there's something more to life. Life has something more to offer them than the brokenness that the world has to offer.
Our great friend Randy Jackson with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. More coming up. Our Matters of Faith program continues as we always sit back and thank God for America and for what we have today. And we do that during the Thanksgiving holiday, during the Christmas holiday as well. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We hope you're having a safe and happy day before the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Kevin Miller with Randy Jackson joining us here at 580 KIDO. We always love our friends, and Randy's known us for quite some time. He's a youth pastor with the Nampa First Southern Baptist Church. Randy, we take a look at just some of the adventures that you've been through. You remember when the missionaries were held in Haiti. A lot of people seem to forget about that. You were there supporting Laura Silsby and the like. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about faith and why people do these things that, you know, get them in trouble in foreign countries, but they continue on and get ridiculed here, but they're doing it for God.
No, that's a good question, and I know that that people wonder that sometimes, even with currently, and with Pastor Saeed being in Iran, people would wonder, you know, why would you risk your life to go and do something like that? And I think that, you know, really it comes down to what we believe. You know, do we really believe what we believe? You know, as Christians, we believe that Christ is the Redeemer of us. He redeemed us to a relationship with God, that we were broken, and he came in and he took our place, that he healed us you know, from our past mistakes, but he's also our peace and our hope and our love. And if we really believe that, if we really believe that God is the answer, and if we really believe that Christ is the healer, why would we not want to take that out? Why would we not want to take that message to the world? People say, you know, but you're going into dangerous situations. But the thing is that Christ commands us to love even our enemies, Kevin. And that means that I don't want bad for my enemies. I want my enemies to come to know Christ too, and to come to know the hope and the joy and the peace that I have. And that's why Christians are willing to do that kind of stuff. That's why Christians are willing to go out. You know, you look at the disciples of Christ, and you know, they all died, some of them pretty mean deaths. You know, some of them were crucified, some of them were stoned. You know, they were all willing to do that because they so much believed that Christ was the answer, and that God had a hope and a love and a purpose for people. But they were willing to do that. And so that's why we're willing to do that. That's why we're grateful. We're thankful for what God has done to us, and we want to see him do his work in other people's lives too.
I'm with you. And, you know, you take a look at what Laura did and poor Pastor Saeed, which you've talked about quite a bit, and tried to help him out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important that we don't forget those around the world, you know, and to lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer, both Pastor Saeed, and you know, there's a lot of persecution in the world, a lot of Christians who face this, and it's because they love God, they're thankful to God for what he's done for them,